powerful message and song. And thank you so much for the music today, and Brother Andrew, the choir and orchestra, and Brother Tommy and our congregational music. And, you know, it's always great to see friends that you've known through the years. Sometimes we don't see each other very often, but good to see Brother Sides again, and of course Dr. Weaver. And thank you, Dr. Weaver, for the lesson this morning in the Sunday school hour. I hope you go to Sunday school. It's a good time to get fed from the Word of God. And so enjoyed the lesson there, and Judy and I are honored to be here and have part of the service today. Well, I want to say a word about your church, because I really appreciate Worth Baptist Church. And, of course, have prayed for this church through the years, and was a close friend and still a close friend of Brother Raymond. We talk on the phone some and kind of check up on each other. Usually the first question is, how are you feeling today? I mean, we're at that stage, you know, how are you feeling? And Dr. and Mrs. Barber, Brother Raymond and Helen, we just appreciate them. And used to, years ago, we would periodically, about four or five pastors and their wives, we would get together and have supper about once or twice a year. We'd just get together and just laughed our heads off the whole time. You know, in ministry, you find a lot of things. Maybe they're not funny at the time, but later you look back and they were funny. And so we enjoyed that fellowship. And then, of course, Dr. Weaver came. You called him to be your pastor. And I want to commend you as a church. You may not realize how unusual this is to go through transitions and not miss a beat and keep doing ministry successfully and have a church that's in harmony. You may not realize how unusual that is, but Dr. Barber retired, and then Dr. Weaver took over, took the reins, and has had successful ministry here. And now you've got a new pastor, a young squirt, a young guy. And I hear good reports, but it's really unusual, folks, because I know churches and ministries, and I've traveled a lot, preached a lot, and transition's not an easy thing for a lot of churches. And it's a commendation to you as a body of believers that you've moved right on, and you've called God's man, and you've kept going. And I commend you, and I rejoice in that, and what God's doing in your ministry and through your work here. It is a great thing. Well, I want to have a word of prayer. We're gonna pick a story out of the Old Testament today, and spend some time thinking about that for a few minutes today. So will you bow for prayer with me, please? Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we recognize our need of your grace and strength and power upon our lives. And Lord, we thank you for what we've already felt and heard in the services, the good ministry that's being done, the songs that brought you honor today. And then, Lord, the blessing to fellowship with dear believers that we love and care about. Lord, thank you. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to be your messenger this morning. I pray, God, you'll guide my thinking and help me with my words. And, Lord, may I honor and exalt you today. And then, Lord, may God's people be edified and strengthened. Lord, would you bless Pastor Gillett on the mission field? God, would you keep him safe? And, Lord, would you give him power as he preaches there and as he's used of the Lord there? And bless the Abiram ministry, and thank you for Brother Patterson and all his family and the work they're doing. And I pray, oh God, you'll continue to bless Worth Baptist. May there be good days, days where souls come to Christ, days where, Lord, God's people rejoice in the good things of the Lord. And would you bless today in Jesus' name, amen. Well, our story today is from 1 Kings chapter 20. And I need to give you some background in this about this chapter and about this place in Scripture to kind of set the scene of what I want to talk to you about today in the service. This mainly in 1 Kings chapter 20 is a story about King Ahab and some of the battles that King Ahab had. But I think you've got to look back and just let me quickly give you an overview. As you know, in Israel, God brought them out of Egypt, wonderfully delivered them under the leadership of Moses. And they wandered in the wilderness, and then God brought them into the land of Canaan under Joshua, and they conquered the enemies of the Lord there and established their kingdom there, the 12 tribes. And God raised up judges as they were needed. There were times the people of God got away from the Lord. It's kind of a vicious cycle that went on. God's people would get away, and God would deliver them over into judgment, and they would be oppressed by some evil king. And then God would raise up a judge, and he would lead the people, and they would repent and call out to the Lord, and God would deliver them. And then again, after a while, they got right back into getting away from God again. And it just was a vicious cycle all the way through the book of Judges. And then we finally come on a scene where they want a king. They want a king like the other nations around them. And so God permitted them to have a king. And King Saul was that first king. And he was over the land of, over the kingdom of Israel. And then a man after God's own heart, God raised up David, the shepherd king. And David was the king and a famous and wonderful king of the people of Israel. And then David's son Solomon came on the scene, and he built the temple and had a peaceful and wonderful reign in the land of Israel. But after Solomon's son, the kingdom got divided, and the kingdom got split. And so there was the northern kingdom, the tribes of Israel in the north, and there was the southern kingdom, Judah. And so they each had their own kings. And that's why you think 1st and 2nd Kings are all about these kings. I call them the good, bad, and the ugly. The good, bad, and the ugly. Because Israel, at that time, the kings in Israel, all of them were bad. All of the kings of Israel. Every one of them. Kings of Judah periodically had some good kings. Jehoshaphat, some others that came on the scene that recognized the Lord. But in Israel, the northern kingdom, they got way away from God. And one of the most infamous kings of Israel was Ahab. In fact, the Bible says he did worse than all the other kings before him. I mean, he brought in Baal worship. And besides, he married a bad woman. I mean, a mean woman. I mean, woe be unto that guy that marries a mean woman. She's called Jezebel. Anybody name their daughter Jezebel today? Oh, that name denotes, wickedness personified. And she brought in Baal worship. And she was a wicked, wicked queen that influenced King Ahab. And so God raised up a prophet, because God always has a witness. And he raised up Elijah. And chapter 17, 18, and 19 are the wonderful, powerful ministry of Elijah and how God used him, how they won the great victory on Mount Carmel. And it's wonderful stories we read about the ministry of Elijah. You get to chapter 20, and God reverts back to tell us about King Ahab. And it's an interesting story here. I'm not going to read this chapter. I want you to keep your Bible open. I'm going to point out a few verses, but I want you to kind of get the story and kind of get it in your mind. King Ahab, this wicked king of Israel, he is faced with a real enemy, Syria. King Ben-Hadad of Syria. And seeing King Ben-Hadad comes up with 32 other kings against him. It's a powerful and a great host of people that come and they besiege Samaria. And so Ben-Hadad sends some messengers. And he sends these messengers to King Ahab, and he said, I want you to know everything you have really belongs to me. I'm really over you. I've really got authority. I've got power. I've got an army. I'm really over you. And these messengers come, and King Ahab says, okay, I understand that. You've got this powerful kingdom. He said, your wives are mine, your children are mine, your gold and silver is mine. So Ahab says, all right, I understand that. I'm trying to accommodate you. And then he sends messengers back. And he said, I'm going to send my messengers. I want them to go through your house. I want them to go through your servants' homes. And whatever that's pleasant in your eyes, I want them to take it. Just take it away from you. And Ahab said, I can't do that. He meets with the elders of Israel and said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to just let you come and take everything you want to take. We're not going to do it. And so Ben-Hadad said, well, I'm going to come against you. I'm going to bring my army against you. And then God sends a prophet. He sends a prophet to Israel. Now, this shows you the mercy of God. God will show mercy even when a kingdom has wicked rulers, because God loves his people. So even when they got a wicked ruler, God is going to show mercy. And the prophet comes and said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you victory over these people. And Ahab said, well, how? How's this going to happen? He said, well, the ones I want to lead this battle are 232 young princes in your kingdom. These young guys are going to lead. These young guys are going to, they're going to go out there in the midst of the battle. They're going to fight the battle against Syria. And I'm going to give you a great victory. And that's exactly what happened. And they defeated the Syrians. And it says it was a great slaughter. And they ran for their lives and they defeated him. Well, the prophet comes back to him and says, Ahab, they're going to come again in about a year. They're coming back. Hey, you think sometime the enemy's been finally and fully defeated and they keep coming back. They keep rearing their ugly head. And so Ben-Hadad is going to come again, he says. And the Syrians get with Ben-Hadad and said, listen, let me tell you something. The reason we lost is because their God is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. So let's go back against him. Let's fight him in the valley, in the plain. And when we fight him in the valley and in the plain, we'll defeat him because their God is only the God of the hills. He's not the God of the valleys. And so, you know what happens. Look in your Bible at 1 Kings chapter 20. And let's read what happens here. And it says, and there came a man of God. Look at verse 28. Man of God spake to the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord God, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And on the seventh day, the battle was joined. The children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. And the rest fled to Aphek. That word means fortress. And the city and their wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city to an inner chamber. God let them. They killed 100,000 Syrians. Then they ran into the city and a wall fell on 27,000 more. I mean, God just took care of them. You know why God said he was going to do it? They said, I was only the God of the hills. I'm going to show you I'm also the God of the valleys. I'm the God of the valleys. I want you to say that with me, will you please? He's the God of the hills. Say it with me. He's the God of the hills, but he's also God of the valleys. He's the God of the valleys. Don't ever forget that. God will defend his own honor. Now, there are a number of scriptures that talk about hills and valleys. In fact, when they came into the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan, the Lord told them, Deuteronomy 11:11, he said, the land whither you're going to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. Now that land is a picture of the Christian's journey in this life. And he said, it's going to be hills and valleys. There are going to be high places. There are going to be great times. There are going to be low places and dark times and places that are not so easy. There's the hills, there's the valleys. Don't ever forget that God is the God of the hills. In fact, the psalmist said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. In another place it said, the strength of the hills belongs to our Lord. The strength of the hills. Yes, He's the God of the hills. There are great mountains. Great mountaintop experiences and victories. Man, when you look through Scripture and you see Mount Moriah and you see Mount Sinai and you see Mount Carmel and you see the Mount of Transfiguration and you see the Mount of Olives as He ascends into heaven and you see Mount Calvary where He died for our sin. There's some great mountains in Scripture. And the Lord is, say it with me, He's the God of the hills. Say it, God of the hills. But He's also what? God of the valleys. He's the God of the valleys. Now I want you to think with me just a little bit today about these valleys. Just the valleys, just a moment. I know we've taken time for background. But just think about some valleys, and I want to show you from Scripture some valleys where God showed Himself strong. I want you to think first in the Valley of Eshcol. In the Valley of Eshcol, God showed His provision. God's wonderful provision in the Valley of Eshcol. The children of Israel, they're getting ready to go in the land of Canaan. And they send out some spies. They send out some spies into the land. And the Bible tells us when these spies went into the land, they saw a fruitful land. They saw land with milk and honey. And one of the famous things they brought back to camp was the grapes of Eshcol. From the Valley of Eshcol. Now I want to tell you folks, these are grapes like you've never seen before. One cluster of grapes. Just one cluster. Took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. How'd you like to get a hold of some grapes like that? Now that's some big grapes, folks. And God is telling His people, I'm going to provide for you. I've got a wonderful land. Land flowing with milk and honey and the grapes of Eshcol from the Valley of Eshcol, and I'm going to make provision for you. And God did it for those people of Israel. When they got out into that land, on their journey, they needed bread. What did He give them? Manna from heaven. There was manna. God gave them manna from heaven. Some say it angel food for God's people to eat. There was food. They could go out every morning and gather. And on the day before the Sabbath, they could gather and it would last all the way through the Sabbath. I mean, they had manna. They had God's provision. And yet they kept doubting God's provision. Did you know that? Psalm 78, there's an interesting verse there in Psalm 78:19 when the children of Israel said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" I want to tell you this morning, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. Can God? Yes, God can. God can. He can make provision for us. He can provide for us, and He does again and again. God provides for us day by day, week by week. We receive from God's hand, and God gives provision for us because He's the God of the valleys. And when you get down in the valley, God will provide for you. God will have provision for your life. You know, when I started out, I went to a conference, a big sword conference. And Dr. Rice was speaking. And I'd never been to a big conference like that. I just sat there, Brother Sides, I just sat there in awe. And I mean, Bill Harvey sang and Dr. Rice and others preached, and I was just so blessed. And so at the end of the service, I saw folks kind of lined up where Dr. Rice was, and I wanted to meet him personally. And so he was signing Bibles. Well, I didn't know anything about signing Bibles. I wasn't reared under a ministry where you sign Bibles. And so, man, I had my Bible. I wanted him to sign my Bible. And so I got up to where he was and met him and introduced myself. And he signed his name and put a scripture. He put a scripture down. Now, I was so ignorant, Brother Weaver. He thought that's the scripture, young man, you need in your life. I didn't realize it was his life verse. I didn't realize he was signing every Bible with the same scripture. I thought he was saying, young man, this is the verse you need. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I thought, Dr. Rice is telling me, buddy, you need to get to soul winning. You need to get on this soul winning. Well, later I found out somebody told me, said, that's his life verse. He signs every Bible with that. That wasn't just for you, buddy. That was for everybody. I mean, that's the life verse he has. And so I thought, Brother Andrew, I thought, I want to get a life verse. I want a life verse. Young preacher, just getting started. I began to pray and looking through Scripture and reading Scripture. And God, Brother Rigsby, God gave me my life verse, which has blessed me so many times along life's trail. Philippians 4:19. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've claimed that verse time and time again. And I find that God takes care of his people and provides for his people. You got a need? God can meet that need. You got something going on in your life and you need help and you need wisdom and you need strength, or sometime you need finances. You need help. God can meet that need. Because my God supplies all your need according to his riches. And they never get depleted. They never, never get depleted. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful how God takes care of us. And how God meets our needs time and time again. One of the missionaries we've supported through the years, and I don't know what his state is now, but he's done some wonderful work in Mexico and down in Guatemala. His name is Charlie Hoy. I don't know if any of you know Charlie Hoy. Long time pastor in Louisiana. And he retired from the pastorate. And you see, when you retire, and Brother Weaver can tell you this, we're not really retired. We're redeployed. Right, Brother Weaver? We are redeployed. We're on another mission than we were. We don't have all the headaches of pastoring. Amen. Amen and amen. But we're redeployed. But Brother Charlie Hoy, no mission board would have him. He felt God wanted him to go to the mission field. They said, you're too old. We can't support you. We can't allow you to be part of our mission board. He went to mission board. He said, I'm going anyway. God called me and I'm going. And so Brother Charlie Hoy, now these last number of years, he's been down in way in southern Mexico. He has gone into some places where no evangelist or missionary has ever been, in some prisons. And he went into a blind children's home way down in the hills down in southern Mexico. He went into a blind children's home where they'd never heard the gospel. Never heard the gospel. And he had a number of people saved, and there's a young blind evangelist now preaching across Mexico that got saved under Charlie Hoy. Charlie Hoy. But Charlie Hoy, every time he gets up to preach, every time he gets up to testify, he quotes a verse. Every time he stands up. I love this verse. It's in Psalm 37:25. You probably know it. I've been young and now I'm old. Amen, Brother Willie. I'm young, now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now I want to tell you, folks, this getting old is not always easy. You know, some people said, oh, preacher, I bet you are really enjoying everything about retirement. I want to tell you, there are aches and pains. We're always having a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment or an eye doctor appointment. I mean, it just goes on and on. And then, to top it all off, we're in Sam's the other day. And I'm getting some water, getting a case of water. And so Judy and I are in Sam's. We're getting a case of water. And I'm reaching over to get the case of water. And this young mother, looks about her middle 20s, had two little girls. She just kind of edges me over and says, sir, please let me help you put this on your... You talk about wounding your masculinity. we got out. I said, Judy, do I look that old and decrepit? I mean, that young lady's got to come over and say, let me help you, sir. Dear old man that can't pick that water up, let me get it for you. That's bad, Brother Weaver. That is bad. Hey, I'm glad. When I was young, so many times God provided in such a wonderful way. Now I'm old, and God's still providing. Still providing. You know why? Because He's the God of the hills and what? He's the God of the valleys, and He'll provide. Secondly, quickly, let you see not only the Valley of Eshcol, but the Valley of Elah. Now, the number of valleys in the Bible, we're not going to cover all of them. You know that. But we're going to just mention a few. Valley of Elah. This is where God's power is manifested. God's power. You remember the scene? There's two mountains, and there's a valley called the Valley of Elah. And one of the most decisive battles ever fought in the history of Israel is going to be fought in that battle, in that valley. The big old giant steps out from the Philistines and he thunders with his voice. Send out your champion. Send someone. And he defies the armies of Israel. And everybody's scared to death and shaking in their boots. And then a little shepherd boy comes up, little teenage shepherd boy that loved God and believed in God. And he comes up bringing supplies for his older brothers. And he says, I'll fight the giant. I'll fight him. Saul tried to put his armor on him. That didn't work. No, that's not going to work. David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you, in the Valley of Elah, when he's facing the biggest giant you've ever seen. I mean, this guy is huge, over 9 feet tall. Now, I don't know if you ever heard Big Max Palmer give his testimony. How many have ever heard Big Max Palmer give it? I know from years ago, Big Max, he's on in heaven now, but Big Max was 7'8". And so we had him to give his testimony at Levon. I put his coat on. It went all the way down to the floor. It swallowed me. I mean, 7'8", that's a big guy. Hey, the giant, way bigger than Big Max. He's over 9 feet tall. The little shepherd boy is going to face him. You're going to see a manifestation of God's power. Because God can bring down the biggest giants you've ever seen. Whatever giant you're facing in your life, God can give you victory. God can bring down those giants. Those giants try to intimidate us. They try to make us step back. They try to make us fearful. But David said, in the name of the Lord. God brought that giant down because God manifests His power sometime in the valley. In the Valley of Elah, He did. Now, this is what happened to Israel under King Ahab. A wicked King Ahab. But see, God's honor was at stake. They said, your God is, the God of Israel is only the God of the hills. He's not the God of the valleys. And so when they went to fight that battle, God gave them a wonderful, decisive victory, because our God is not only the God of the hills, He's the God of the valleys. And let me give you the last one this morning. And that's the valley of the shadow of death. That's a valley we're all going to walk through unless we hear the trumpet. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of my dearest friends, some people I've pastored for years and years, they've gone on to heaven. Some of them I've had their funerals, had part in their funerals over just the last few years. I'm saddened to say goodbye to them. But we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You see, we have God's provision at Eshcol. We have God's power manifested in Elah. And we have God's presence with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. It's out there, folks. It faces us one day we're going to walk down through that valley. Charles Spurgeon was asked one time, "Do you have dying grace, Mr. Spurgeon?" He said, "Not today, but when I'm dying, I'll have it." You know why? Because God promised it. He said, "I'll be with you. I'll go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be with you. I'll be with you when you walk down through that valley." I know Dr. Weaver can testify, and some of you other men on the staff can, of those times where you've been with people when they drew that last breath. And dear friend, I'll tell you some memories from my early days before they had heavy medication. I was with one man one night as a young pastor. It made an impression on me, an indelible impression on my mind that I'll never forget. He was dying of delirium tremens. His liver was diseased from alcoholism, and he'd been a drunkard for years and years. And he was seeing spiders on the wall and snakes crawling into his bed. And he was screaming and hollering. And then he began to scream the fire. He could feel the fire even in his feet. You know, I left there. When I got home early that morning after he passed away, I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. And I thought, no one should ever die like that. When you die without Christ, it's a terrible experience, friend. There are all kinds of stories in the past, but I've seen it myself. I've seen it firsthand when someone died without the Lord. The fear and the horror that grips them as they step out into eternity without the Lord. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow. And there's only one that can walk with you. Only one that can walk with you that'll give you peace in your soul and that'll help you when you step through that valley of the shadow of death. And remember, if there's a shadow, there's light. And when Christ is there with you, you'll sense His presence and feel His presence. I came in from preaching somewhere, and one of the staff picked me up at the airport. And they said, "Preacher, I want to take you straight over to Ms. Opal Wright." Now, Opal Wright was a nursery worker at Levon Drive for many, many years. I guess at least 30, 40 years. Great, precious soul that loved little children and loved the work of God. And was a great friend of this pastor and his wife. And Opal got sick while I was gone. And they called me and they said, "Opal, they think Opal's not going to make it." So the family all gathered, little frame house on Macklemore Street in Garland, and the family had all gathered, children, grandchildren, even a few great-grandchildren. They had all gathered there. Opal was dying, and they said, she'll not make it through the day. That was on Monday. She made it through the day, made it through Monday night. Tuesday, she's still living. They said, "She's not going to live another day. She can't make it another day. She's not going to live another day." And I'm off in a meeting. I'd call, talk to the family and talk to the staff. And so, you know, I'm praying for them. And Wednesday came. I finished the meeting on Wednesday night. She's still living. Thursday, I got on the plane, got there. When I got there, I rushed right in to Opal's. All the family was out in the yard. They'd been there for days. Some of them had been up. Looked like it had very little sleep. I went right in there to her little bedroom and knelt by her bedside and took her hand. And I said, "Miss Opal." She opened her eyes. Big old smile crossed her face. She said, "I was waiting for you, preacher. I was waiting for you." Wow. Boy, if I'd known that, I'd have called a plane Monday to help you out here. But I didn't know. And so we quoted Psalm 23, and she was quoting it with me. And then I said, "Miss Opal, you want me to pray?" She said, "Yes." I started praying. Brother Earl, when I started praying, her little hand went limp in my hands. The nurse standing behind me said, "Pastor, she was just waiting till you got here. She was just waiting till you got here. Say goodbye." There's so much I wanted to say to her that I didn't get to, but I'll say it to her one day. What a great soul. What a faithful servant of the Lord. I want to tell you, folks, when Jesus walks with you through the valley of the shadow, you can have a smile on your face. You can have a smile on your face because you're saying goodbye here, but good morning up there. Good morning when you step on that golden shore. Now the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Say it with me one more time. He's the God of the hills. Say it with me. He's the God of the hills. He's the God of the valleys. And that valley that may be one of the most important valleys you'll ever walk through is that valley of the shadow of death. Are you ready? If death came today, days pass so swiftly, months come and go, years melt away with new fallen snow. It slips away. Spring turns to summer, summer to fall. Autumn brings winter. Then death comes to call. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you made peace with God? Have you opened your heart and life to Jesus Christ? I hope you have. Would you bow your heads, please? In just a few moments, we're going to sing. But before we do, would you let me help you? Would you let me just kind of come up alongside of you and help you today? I've been preaching a long time. And God has been so good to me, so much better than I'll ever deserve. But I know this. I know that the Lord Jesus is the one person in all the world that you need in your life as you face life challenges. As someday you'll face this matter of death and going through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me help you this morning. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? It's simple. God didn't make it hard because He gets all the glory. He does the saving. You can't save yourself. He does the saving. So there's just some simple things you need to understand. One is that you're a sinner. You've sinned against God because we all have. We've broken His laws. We've sinned against Him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, you can't save yourself. You cannot save yourself, friend. You can't do enough. You can't work enough. You can't be good enough. No, you can't save yourself. It's futile. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need to have the righteousness of Christ. Christ died for your sins because He loves you. He died on that old rugged cross and gave Himself. And it's simple. If you will believe in your heart today that He died for you and He rose again, and you'll open your life to Him today, He'll save you. You'll be a child of God. You can have peace when you walk down through the valley of the shadow. I wonder how many here today, and you'd say, preacher, if death knocked at my door today, I have peace in my heart. I have assurance in my heart that Christ is my Savior. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I have peace about that. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony? Just slip your hand up as a testimony. God bless you. Host of hands. Thank you. I know many, many of you here today are believers. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, dear friend, I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I'll not come back and embarrass you in any way, but I want to help you. I want you to know the Lord Jesus in your life. I want you to know He's real. I want you to know Him as your Savior. And so right now, you just say, preacher, I want to be saved today. I need to be saved today. If you would, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Be sincere about it as you whisper this prayer in your heart. Just say, dear Lord, I need You in my life today. I'm sorry I've sinned against You. I know my sin deserves hell. I deserve to be separated forever from You. But Lord, right now, the best I can, I'm putting my trust in You. I'm opening my heart and life to You right this moment. And I really mean it with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, if you whispered a prayer, maybe not those exact words, but you ask the Lord to forgive you and come into your heart and life today, You meant it. You're not ashamed of it. Would you just slip your hand up right now? Preacher, I whispered that prayer in my heart today, and I meant it. Just slip your hand up where I can see it right now. Anywhere, just slip it up right now. I whispered that prayer and asked the Lord into my life today. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. If I missed your hand, I'm sorry. Let me ask you to do this. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, will you pray a second prayer? Would you just pray a second prayer and say, thank you, Lord, for coming into my life today and saving me. Help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Just pray a second prayer thanking him. And if you prayed that prayer in a minute and you asked the Lord to forgive you and save you today, I want to welcome you into God's family. You're a part of God's family now. You've trusted Christ. And we stand to sing here in just a moment. Would you get out of your place? If you're not ashamed of the decision you've made, would you get out of your place and come? And pastoral staff will be here. They'll greet you. They'll pray with you. They'll rejoice with you about your decision. And you get out of your place and come. And then if there's some here today and you'd say, I feel God wants us to be part of this church family. What a great church. You've got a great young pastor. You've got great future out there to do something big for God. Just, if God's leading you, just come and put your life here. There may be some today going through a dark valley. I remind you, God's not only the God of the hills, he's the God of the valleys. You go down through that low place. He's the God of the day. He's the God of the night. He's the God of the heavens. He's the God of the earth. And he's the God of the hills, and he's the God of the valleys. Just put your trust in him. Walk with him. Let him provide your needs through those days. Father, would you speak to hearts right now? Tug at hearts. Lord, we give this service, this invitation to you. There may be some dear souls that just need to make their way to the altar and talk to you this morning. There may be somebody going through the deepest, darkest valley they've ever known, and they just need to come and call out to you for help. And there may be some precious soul, Lord, that they may not realize they're on the edge of eternity. They may not even realize they're on the edge of eternity. God, would you tug at their heart? Would you bring them to yourself? May they come and open their life to you today. Lord, we give this service to you, this invitation to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing.